This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stories from the Village of Nothing Much. Like easy listening, but for fiction. I'm Catherine Nicolai. I write and read all the stories you'll hear on the Village of Nothing Much. Audio engineering and sound design are by Bob Wittersheim. For years now, I've been a full-time storyteller in my bedtime story podcast, Nothing Much Happens. And I've learned a lot along the way, mostly that all of us could use a soft landing at some point in the day, a place to tuck into and be connected to things that feel good. So I built the Village of Nothing Much, story by story. And now I'm bringing you these stories in a way that hopefully won't make you fall asleep, but might help you wake up to the ordinary magic that is present around you today. Before we step into the village, let's take a deep breath, in through the nose, and sigh from your mouth. Nice. One more time. Inhale. And let it go. Good. Our stories today revel in the feeling of freshness that comes with spring. We'll start with a plan to reset for the equinox, with a drive to see the sun come up and begin again. Then we'll pack away the mittens and snow boots and reclaim a calm and orderly space with some spring cleaning in first this, then that. Finally, we'll daydream about journeys and rainstorms and the quiet magic of the natural world in Touchstone. Begin again. I'd learned it in science class when I was 11 or 12, and somehow never forgotten it, though I could certainly use a refresher on lots of other topics we'd covered then. We must have been studying the planets. In fact, I remember that the solar system, simply as an idea in and of itself, was a popular project to make for the science fair, although we were warned against it as it wasn't an experiment, just a display. But every year, there would be someone who would put it off till it was too late, and out would come the styrofoam balls, the wire, the poster paints, and there it would be. A map of this small corner of the universe. And who doesn't love a good map? We'd been studying the position and relative size of the planets, which was then, and continues to be, at least for me, pretty difficult to grasp. Here is Earth. Okay, I have some experience with Earth. I've taken a flight to another continent. I've driven from one coast to another. I can grasp, if only slightly, how big she is. And then there is Mercury, about a third of the size of our planet, and Mars, which is about half the size, and Venus, which is only slightly smaller than we are. Then Neptune and Uranus, four times as big, and Saturn, nine times, and Jupiter, 11 times as big. There was a poster on the wall above my seat in our classroom that I would stare at, wondering at the size of those giants. The planets sat as if on a table to show how they compared to one another. Mercury looked like a marble, and Mars like the red ball in my tiny plastic Jack's case. Earth and Venus were good-sized gumballs, the ones that came out of the candy machines by the door at the grocery store. The kind you'd drop a quarter into and twist the knob to release the candy, and then quickly cup your hands under the chute to catch your treat. Uranus and Neptune might be soccer or basketballs, and Saturn an extra-large beach ball, though it had rings instead of seams. And still Jupiter was even bigger. It was the pumpkin that had won the prize at the fall fair. I lost myself at times, staring up at that poster, trying to imagine so much space, so many stars, and the sweeping elliptical orbits of the planets. It felt like poetry, that they didn't just make perfect circles, that their paths had a long side and a short side, like the track around the football field. We'd studied eclipses and made cardboard tube telescopes to spy Jupiter over Christmas vacation. Then, on the cusp of spring, we learned about the equinox. This was the bit I still remembered, because often people call the first day of the warming season spring solstice, but it isn't a solstice at all. The solstice marks the longest and shortest days of the year, in December and June, as the sand in the hourglass gets tipped in the other direction. On the vernal and autumnal equinoxes, the glass gets tipped on its side for a day. Both bulbs hold an exactly equal count of sand. On the equinox, there are as many minutes of darkness as light. And that had stayed with me all these years. It felt like a factory reset. Nature saying, let's have a day where we wipe the slate. Let's even it all out and start again tomorrow. It reminded me of that turn of phrase, all things being equal. Though instead of it being a choice of words, it was a literal description, at least as long as sunbeams and night sky were concerned. So looking at my calendar, all these years after sixth grade, I was excited to see the equinox approaching. If the new year was for letting go of old things, and leap day for trying something you'd never imagined you'd do, then equinox was a day for starting over, for turning my dial back to zero. Sometimes in the winter, it dipped down a few notches, mimicking the temperature, and got stuck there. Or conversely, when I was busy, had too many projects on the go, was too wrapped up in problems I couldn't solve, my dial got turned too far up, and even a good night's sleep didn't reset it. So that was how I would spend my equinox, getting back to zero. I did it by getting up a half hour or so before the sun rose, packing a thermos of coffee and driving out past the edge of town. There is a small rise that faces east, just a turn in the road with space to pull over, but it gave a clear view of where the sun would come up. I parked my car on the verge and popped my hatchback so I could sit in the warm, open space and wait for the light to change. As the sun was about to crest the horizon, I poured myself a cup of coffee and held it under my nose, letting the aroma and steam warm my face. I drink coffee every morning, which meant it was already built into my life and a perfect carrier for a moment of intention. So as the sun reflected on my lenses, I took a slow sip of coffee and thought, begin again. Start again. Once my cup was empty and my stomach beginning to grumble, I climbed out of the car and took a big stretch and a couple deep breaths of cool morning air. I felt awake. That was something more light always helped with. The neurons in my brain seemed less sluggish, my body less bound into stillness. I walked around the car, looking up into the branches to see who else was up. I could hear birdsong, loud and optimistic, and the scrabbling of squirrels as they leapt from bough to bough. I buckled into my car and drove back into town. I found a spot to park near the library and walked down a few blocks to the bakery. There were tables outside, along with one of those standing heaters that had been ignited probably when the baker had flipped the open sign on the door. I tried to be outside for as much of the day as possible on equinox. It was part of my reset plan. After months nestled in my house, I had to reacquaint myself with the out-of-doors, so I was grateful for the heater, as I intended to have breakfast at one of the tables. It was warming. Inside, the shop smelled of a heavenly mix of fresh baked breads, sweets, muffins, and pastries. I scoped out the cases while I stood in line, but when I got to the front, I just said, "Whatever you recommend, I'll have two of." The baker gave me an honest laugh. Oh, I loved when some silly thing I said made someone actually laugh. She shook out a wax paper sack and reached for her tongs for something on the counter behind her. She turned back to me and set it down, saying, "Two carrot cake muffins. You won't be sorry." I said, "And a latte. One will be enough." I carried my breakfast out to the table and thought about the day in front of me. I'd walk through the park and look for tulips coming up in the flower beds. I'd go to the bookshop and buy something to read on my front porch. I'd hike the Crow's Nest Trail and see if any hothouse rhubarb was ready at the farmer's market. I'd visit friends and keep my face to the sun till it set. And tomorrow, I would begin again, again.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
First this, then that. Years ago, a friend had offered me a useful piece of advice. I was rushing, overwhelmed with too much on my plate and starting to grasp and sputter and run out of steam. She reached out and touched my arm, looked into my eyes, and said, "First this, then that." We both took a breath together, and I laughed. Her simple suggestion felt like the sun breaking through the gloom. Of course, I was letting my mind race ahead, and it rightfully felt overwhelmed. Instead, I needed to do one thing at a time and find my way from where I was to where I meant to be. It was still something I said to myself when I had a lot of work to get through, but also when I had something to enjoy. It had become a mental touchstone, a method of simply slowing down so that whatever I was doing could be intentional instead of accidental. I said it to myself this morning as I pushed aside curtains and lifted blinds in one window after another. The early spring sun was warm and bright and somehow of a completely different quality than the winter sun of just the week before. I couldn't open the windows yet to let the fresh air in. It was still too cold, but I could let the light in, and I did. Every window in every room. And as I walked from one to another, I let the sun dazzle my eyes. I stood in the slanting light and thought, first this, then that. The house felt different, filled with bright daylight, and it made me want to clear out the remnants of winter with a day of spring cleaning. Not everyone looks forward to days like that, but I do. I like putting things in their place, tidying and organizing, and stepping back at the end to see how neatly things could stand. I'd learned a long time ago that when my rooms were disorganized and cluttered, my mind seemed to feel the same way. When things were in their place, I felt energized and clear-headed, so I was happy to roll up my sleeves and set my house to rights. I'd filled the bird feeders early in the morning and noticed my coat rack on the way back in. It was covered with scarves and heavy coats and hats, with mittens and gloves hanging from pockets and a pile of boots at its foot. I stood in front of it with hands on hips and said, "First this." I went through the pile, moved coats into the back of the closet, folded away the scarves into a basket, and sorted out the rest. I made peace with the fact that I had indeed lost one of my favorite mittens and let go of its lone sister. I felt into pockets and tossed out movie stubs and creased notes, and in the very last pocket pulled out a crisp $10 bill. Yes, I laughed aloud at how the feeling of finding money in a forgotten pocket never becomes less joyous. It is as sweet at 10 as it is at 30, or I hoped at 80. Next, I moved through kitchen cupboards, consolidating near empty boxes of tea and pulling down cookbooks that would be better enjoyed by someone else. We had a neighborhood drop-off for such things. A tiny pantry to leave a book you'd finished with, the wok you'd meant to learn to cook with but never had, or a sweater that still had a lot of love to give but just didn't fit like it used to. Last week, I popped in on a walk and found a little book of poetry by writers I'd never heard of. It was just the right size to slip into the pocket of my spring jacket, and I'd been opening it up at bus stops and the line in the coffee shop, and reading a few verses. After all, summer is for music, autumn for books, the winter is for films, and spring is for poetry. I'd been filling a handlebag as I worked my way through closets and cupboards, and now had a little collection of things ready to find another home. I set it at the back door, thinking that if the sun lasted a bit longer, I could walk it down to the pantry before the day was over. My work was nearly done. My rooms were fresh and clean and wanting to be lived in. I set a kettle on the stove and lit the flame. While the water heated, I picked through a bunch of flowers in an old ceramic vase on the counter. I'd bought them at the grocery store a few days before, heavy stems of lilies with some greenery tucked in around them. They were just starting to open, and I pinched away the filament and anther. The pollen stained my fingers, and I rinsed them under the tap, thinking of the sleeping bulbs about to wake in my garden, the birds building nests in the still naked branches, the underground burrows of rabbits growing their families. I thought that spring in Italian was primavera. Prima meaning first, and vera meaning true or real. Yes, the year was a few months old by now, but the spring was the first real moment. I took my cup to a chair facing the full bird feeder. There were cardinals and mourning doves and gray jays picking through seeds and hopping in the black dirt. We were all putting our houses in order today. The afternoon light was warm on my skin as I stretched out in the chair. I let my hand reach for a book, thinking I might read a page or two, but the sunlight on my face was irresistibly pushing down my lids. And I leaned my head back into the cushion with a slow sigh. My work was done. Now I could rest.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
touchstone. There are certain objects that seem to land in my hands over and over. I had a friend who found feathers wherever they went, stuck between the pages of a library book, under the windshield wiper of their car, in their mailbox, among the bills and letters. Different kinds from different birds. Some big and old as if they'd come off a lady's hat from the 20s, and others tiny and light, freshly fallen from a fledgling, but always feathers. Maybe this has happened to you. You might find keys in the pockets of thrifted jackets, or foreign coins from countries you'd never visited in the back of your dresser drawers. Maybe it's fountain pens, and they show up in the pencil cup on your desk even though you're sure you didn't put them there. Or perhaps when you open your glove box and rummage around for a napkin, you come away with a handful of tokens from an arcade that closed when you were too young to see into the game cabinets. For me, it's stones. Ever since I was a child, they have shown up. And not just in the garden where you'd expect to see them. I've found them in the toes of shoes I'd worn the week before, on window ledges in the back corridor of libraries, and once when I'd reached up into the lampshade of a reading light on the screened-in porch of a little rented cabin by the lake, a smooth, flat circle of stone fell from where it was balanced somewhere near the bulb right into my hand. When I was young, I'd heard the word touchstone and taken it quite literally. I'd interpreted it through the lens of kid logic and felt sure it must mean a stone that when you touched it, gave you some sudden burst of knowledge or power or transported you in an instant to a faraway place. So whenever I'd find another stone popping up in my path, I'd wrap my hands around it and close my eyes and wait to see what happened. And I must say that even though I was never swiftly gifted with a superpower or opened my eyes to find I'd traveled at light speed to a market in Marrakesh or an empty moor in Scotland, I did always feel I'd learned something. I've never been much of a collector, preferring the feeling of letting go to that of holding on. So most of the time when I found a stone, I'd carry it for a while. I'd hold it like I had as a child and wait for it to tell me its message. Then I'd leave it in some out-of-the-way spot where I thought it might catch the eye of someone who had an eye open for it and feel like it was meant for them to find, which, of course, it was. Often it spent just a few hours in my pocket, and it went from the library window to the top of a letterbox by the park. But some journeys were longer. Once on a beach on another continent, at the base of a cliff that held a tiny town 1,000 feet above the sea, I'd found a piece of smooth ceramic, painted in the bright yellows and blues traditional to that place. I'd carried it till a year later, on a hike in a dry canyon that had been cut from the mountains in the Paleozoic era, where I found a small cave in the chasm wall that was just a few feet deep. I left it with its painted side turned down to the red dust, wondering what someone would think when at some point it was picked up and turned over. Is there a better gift to give someone than a moment of wonder? It cuts through the blurry static of background thoughts and gives you a genuine experience of surprise. And that's a rare and lovely thing. 12 years ago, in the middle of the summer and late at night, it had begun to storm. Rain poured down and thunder drummed through the woods at my back door. I watched from the window in my dark bedroom as a jagged leg of lightning reached down and pointed its toes into the forest. The next day, under dripping branches, but a now clear blue sky, I tromped out in my hiking boots, and after a long walk, found a tree split and fallen on a ridge. The ground around it was singed and cracked open, and I squatted down to look into the earth. There was a craggy, uneven stone, as big as my palm and heavy. I lifted it out, and stuck to one side was an old steel nail. Lodestones are magnetized clumps of mineral. And while they sometimes occur naturally, they can also happen when a piece of magnetite is struck by lightning, as it had here in the broken dirt in the woods. I'd heard the word before, lodestone, and had thought that the meaning had something to do with direction, being shown the way. I tucked the stone into my bag and carried it home, where I sat with it, my Oxford English Dictionary open in front of me, having decided not to trust what might again be mixed-up kid logic. I learned that a lodestone was so named because their magnetic properties had helped to make early compasses. They'd led sailors out onto the sea and into adventure. The word lode, it had meant at the time way or course or journey. I wondered if all the stones I'd found in my life were trying to point me somewhere, or if they were just encouraging me to keep stepping out onto the path, to have those moments of marveling at the find. I thought it was probably the latter more than the former. After all, they were just stones, and I was the sailor. When I was younger and I found a stone, I looked around trying to see where it had come from and who had left it. Now when I find one, I look for where I can leave it, and who can be the next person to be surprised by the world. Thank you for visiting us today in the village of Nothing Much. We wish you a smooth step into the new season. Time to set your home in order, to plan your next journey, and the energy to begin again as many times as you need to.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.